Welcome to another episode and another series of Mr. Badger Talks Twitter Scum, and I'm here with a brand new guest to the show, the wonderful Mr. Ned Flanders. How are we, Ned?
Hi, yeah, my name is Nick Byard. I'm good. How are you doing, Mr. Badger?
Nick what?
Nick Byard.
Nick what?
Nick Byard.
Never mind.
My name isn't Ned Flanders.
Your name is Ned Flanders. That's what I called you.
Oh no, it's Nick Byard.
You're mental, you are, Ned. So Ned, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about the liberal philosopher and political activist Thomas Paine.
Thomas Paine? Is that any relation to Thomas and Jerry?
No, because Tom and Jerry are fictional characters. Well, Tom Paine is a historical philosopher.
A historical philosopher. So
yes,
what's a historical philosopher do?
Well, Thomas Paine, he's famous because he's one of the he wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense, which is one of the pamphlets that led to the American Revolution. And he campaigned like throughout his life for liberal values and democracy in America, England, and also in France.
Liberal.
Yes. So he went against like the traditional ideas of an absolutist monarchy in favour of individual rights and democracy and liberal kind of human rights.
So he's anti-royal?
Yes, yeah, extremely, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to like this fella. I like the royal family.
Oh, right, well, he didn't.
Don't you think they bring a lot of AIDS into this country?
A lot of AIDS into this country? Well, I don't know about that.
That's financial aid, don't they?
Financial aid?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We get on Prince Andrew's cock as well.
Well, hopefully we won't have too much of that. I mean, that wasn't specifically what Thomas Paine was writing about, but I'm sure he'd have some things to say about the current situation we find.
He could write as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wrote lots. He wrote books.
Fancy it. Can you write?
Yes. Yeah, I write a bit.
What do you write?
Well, I'm a comedian, so I write jokes and
debatable. Isn't it?
I write emails as well. I do a lot of emails.
A lot of email. My friend showed me how to do an email the other day.
How'd it go?
Not great. I tried to sign off with kind regards, Mr. Badger, and accidentally put King of the Retards, Mr. Badger.
Oh no! That probably didn't go down well.
No, well, it was for a parole hearing, so I'm hoping, actually, they take it that I'm a bit... I'm not, though. I hope that they think I'm a little bit mentally challenged. Of course, I'm one of the smartest people in the UK.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Oh, well, I hope your parole meeting goes okay.
Yeah, I know, it's fucked.
Okay.
Well, they found me fur down his throat, so they knew that something had gone down there. My only hope is they can't prove what bit of me it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Have you ever choked somebody to death with your cock? I mean, with a part of your body?
No, not at all. No.
It feels all right at the time, but as time goes by, it starts to worry you, you know, because... Because Mr. Badger lives an incredibly clean lifestyle. I've had next to no sort of media, you know, issues whatsoever. Not like this Hugh Edwards and all that, the dirty bugger. So I'm a good boy. Well, a good badger.
Okay, so you're innocent then?
Yeah. Yeah. So this Tom and Jerry, did he...
No. He was elected to the French revolutionary government.
French!
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh no! I'm going right off this fella. So he's gay. He hates the Queen. And he's a French.
Well, I don't. I'm not sure what his sexuality was actually. But yeah,
he said he's a liberal. French.
Yeah, well, he was a liberal. Yeah, and he was gay. Part. Well, okay. Is that? Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not sure what to say to that.
They all are, aren't they?
I don't think so. But he was a remarkable man, and he has a kind of remarkable afterlife as well. So after Tom Paine,
does that mean he can like draw on walls with his fingers?
He's
a marker walls? Pen man.
Oh no, remarkable man.
A marker pen. What?
He had a really exciting life. He was part of the French Revolutionary Government, and Robespierre, who was one of the real radicals of the French Revolution, actually threw him in prison. But
Robespierre?
Robert Robespierre.
Oh, I thought you were talking like a Viking or something. So that Robespierre.
No, he was a man even more unreasonable than Thomas Paine for his time.
What did Robespierre do?
Well, he was one of the villains of the French Revolution, and he killed a lot of people, guillotined.
Are you trying to tell me that this was bad even for French people?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That's a very good way of putting it, actually.
Bloody hell, oh Christ. But so hang on, so Tom and Jerry was English, though?
Yeah, oh yeah, he was English, yeah, and that was why it was kind of, and he didn't speak any French, but he was held in such high regard by the French people at that time that he was elected to the National Assembly, which was the Parliament of the French Revolution.
I'm not allowed near the assemblies.
Oh, no, why is that?
No, the police have said I've got to stay away from them. Sometimes I get invited in, you know, to do talks to the kids and all that, but since the latest amount of allegations, I've been told I'm not even allowed to teach them, you know, about sex and that.
Okay. That doesn't sound... Well, yeah, okay. Is that difficult for you?
Not really, no. As I say, I'm a bit like a vampire. I'm only normally allowed in if I've been invited. And now that's been taken away from me. So I just sit at home, you know. I have some wine gums, have a cup of tea. Life's all right, you know.
Okay, well, that's good.
So, what was his name again? Tom?
Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine.
Thomas Paine. Was he in Paine?
No. But I can tell you... So, one of the cool things about Thomas Paine is that his story doesn't even end with his death. So
hang on. Are we talking about Jesus Christ?
Oh, no, well, no, not quite. But he did have a kind of afterlife after he died. So he died and
they
basically
pickled
him. Well, actually, that's an interesting thing. Because later on, bits of his body parts were found, like, preserved. But not his cock, no. His fingers and things like that. Because there was a,
could have been
there's
the
a
cock.
Thing... Not the cock. No, they didn't keep the cock. The cock... I think the cock deteriorated.
Mine did that while I was still alive, you know.
Your cock deteriorated?
Yeah. It's got maggots in it.
Oh, well. I guess that's a similarity between you and the dead body of Thomas Paine.
And I'm a libtardian as well.
Yeah, well, mate, yes. Yeah, but so basically, like, he died and he alienated loads of people in his life because he would just criticise people.
Turned into aliens.
Yeah, people didn't like him. But after he died, he was buried in America, and one of his enemies in life, who then converted to his cause, William Corbett, he dug up Tom Paine's body and smuggled it from America to the UK, and then
what in?
Like. In a boat, a wooden boat.
What? He just smuggled it in a boat. How did you get it into the boat?
Oh, I think he put it in a barrel, if I remember.
Oh. Well, and what was in the barrel?
Thomas Paine's body.
Just dead people.
Yeah.
It didn't have, like, salt in or anything to preserve him.
I'd have to admit, I'm not so sure about that detail, but the thing that is, I find interesting is one of his, like, enemies in life, decided he really liked Thomas Paine's ideas and was so, inspired by them that he smuggled Thomas Paine's body from America to the UK and then went around the country with a tour of Thomas Paine's body, to try and raise funds for a mausoleum for Thomas Paine. And in the end, he was, like, so harried by the authorities who wanted to suppress these dangerous ideas about democracy and, like, in human rights, that he gave up and he left the body in a pub.
He left the body in a pub?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
No, this sounds good now. Right. So it's like a bit like Weekend at Bernie's. There's, like, a pissed zombie corpse in a pub. Everybody's having a party. And they're trying to pretend he's not dead, so they've got people lifting his arms up and that and making him dance.
That's kind of what happened to Thomas Paine.
And then they cut his cock off and put it in vinegar.
Well, maybe. That might be the unofficial version of what happened.
I reckon they did. So, what are these crazy ideas he had anyway about, what do you call it, demon cunts or something?
Well, Enlightenment ideas. So he was in favour of... Enlightenment.
What's that?
It was the movement in the kind of 18th century that went against absolutist monarchies and was in favour of individual rights and reason and kind of that kind of thing. The thing that led, it was a movement against those old feudal arrangements that led to democracy and parliaments and individual rights as a way of organising society.
I don't think people should have rights.
Do you not?
No.
Do you think you should have rights, though, Mr. Badger?
Yeah, but I'm not a person, I'm a badger.
Oh, right, so people shouldn't, but badgers should.
Not all badgers, just me.
Just you?
Yeah.
So you basically want the restoration of an absolutist monarchy, but with you, Mr. Badger, in charge.
I want to be an absolute monarchy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you wouldn't get on with Thomas Paine, but he didn't get on with many people because he would always he would write these like searing critiques of people. So, like, for example, he didn't get on with he was friends with George Washington, but then later in life he criticised him.
Did George Washington make that grill that takes all the fat off the meat?
Oh, that was George Foreman.
Oh, same bloke, isn't it? Roughly.
And other things he fought for. So he criticised tradition. So, like, one of his sort of his philosophical and political rivals in life was Edmund Burke, who's known as the founder of conservatism. And Burke,
conservative. I like conservative.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you'd be more of a Edmund Burke fan. So Edmund Burke, he basically said we should trust tradition because it encapsulates the wisdom of older generations and those that are dead, and it will help us get through. And Thomas Paine wrote a really searing critique of that in The Age of Reason, where he was like, governments are for the living and they shouldn't be held stifled by the ideas of the dead.
So, like, he was trying to say that, like, life evolves and you can't live your life by the rules of the past because they don't apply anymore.
Yeah, exactly, that's exactly it. Yeah.
What a fucking dickhead.
Well, a lot of people thought that, and that was why only 6 people attended his funeral, despite him being this massive figure. He just alienated people through his life by attacking things that people believed in.
And where did he alienate them to, if spaceships had not been invented yet?
Not aliens. He annoyed people.
Oh, I might like him. Apparently, I annoy people.
Yeah, well, you might have a bit of a Thomas Paine in you.
Probably in his pickled cock, that's why they can't find it.
That might be it. Maybe we might find it in... What is it? Do you live in a flat? Is that where Mr. Badger lives?
No, but I live wherever I can at the moment, you know. I struggle. I did have a caravan, but Mother set fire to it. So since then, I've been, with friends. I've been living with people who aren't in. I just sort of broke a window and...
I hope the cock of Thomas Paine wasn't destroyed in that fire.
No, it tastes like anchovies. It's destroyed in my belly. Anchovies. Yeah.
And he criticised, his big thing was he criticised institutional religion, and that's what lost him most of his friends in the end.
I must admit, I am a devout Christian, but I'm not a fan of modern Christianity.
Oh, okay. Why is that, Mr. Badger?
It's too soft. We should bring back hanging.
Bring back hanging?
Yes.
Is that the same as religion?
Yeah.
Modern days being... Okay.
Anybody that says they don't believe in Jesus Christ, put a note round the neck and put them until they're dead.
See, this is the sort of thing that Thomas Paine was arguing against, because he also was an early opponent of capital punishment. And actually, that's one of the things that... Capital punishment, yeah, the death penalty. He was against that.
When you're punching cows and that.
No, the death penalty.
No, you can't kill a cow. The cows are lovely.
No, well, we eat cows, but...
You might eat cows. Mr. Badger is a vegan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I only eat vegetables, fruit, chicken, beef and lamb.
Oh, okay. He argued against killing Louis XVI, I think the King of France, and that was one of the reasons why people like Robespierre threw him in prison when the real radicals of the French Revolution got in charge.
And Louis XVI, if I'm not mistaken, was a black man that played a trumpet.
That's Louis Armstrong.
No, that's the man who went to the moon.
No, is that? I think Louis Armstrong was a.
We'll move on. So. Louis Armstrong played his trumpet, and he didn't like Tommy Paine, whatever his name is.
Different eras. It was Louis XVI, who was King of France, and at this point he'd been deposed by the French Revolutionary government, and they were debating whether to. They're having a discussion.
It can make you go blind. That can.
Oh no, they weren't masturbating. They were discussing what to do with the king once they got rid of him.
It's not discussing. It's all right if you do it properly.
Yeah, well, it is. But it's slightly different. And Thomas Paine was one of the guys who was saying that he was against the death penalty. So he actually wanted them to send the King of France to exile into America. Because also he supported the French, American Revolution.
What is worse though, death or having to be in America?
Well, I think probably death.
Well, that's horses for courses, isn't it? I don't like Americans.
Do you not?
Too soft.
Too soft.
Yeah. They got rid of my good friend, Donald Trump.
Oh, did you know him personally?
Oh, we're very good friends. I used to hang around with him at my good other friend Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Oh, okay.
We used to have pina coladas.
You and Trump and Epstein.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't think they're very nice men.
Well, Jeffrey's not. He hasn't caught me in fucking ages, the miserable bastard. I used to get a free holiday every year off him.
Fair enough. Thomas Paine, the other thing that was interesting about him is that, like, in kind of the 18th century, one thing that people did was it was a kind of weird thing they would do, like the kind of the English gentry would take pieces of famous people's dead bodies as sort of keepsakes. So like Thomas Paine's fingers and just bits of him have been found in influential people have been found through history to have like little bits of Tom Paine as a keepsake.
Where do they keep them?
Well, just like in their cabinet drawers and things like that.
In their drawers?
Yeah, their cabinet drawers.
Oh, the cabinet drawers.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I thought we were going to get some fingers up bumholes and stuff.
Oh, no, none of that.
Thomas Paine cut his fingers off and gave it to people so they would remember him.
No, it's weirder than that. After he died, people would break into where his body was and take little bits of him. But that was quite common in that time.
That's impossible. He can't give him permission to do that.
No, they did it when he was dead without his permission. They just did it.
Well, that's not very nice.
No. But I think the thing to take away from it is that people did take away fingers, but that he was such an influential thinker and activist that even after he was dead, there was his body had this weird afterlife, and that was partly his dead body being smuggled from America to the UK for this tour, and also bits of him being found in like the possession of relevant philosophers and thinkers and things like that.
Now, some people have said to me that I am severely mentally retarded, but I would like to pose the question as to how can they prove that they were his fingers if they were just corpse fingers?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's one of those things that whether it actually definitely was his finger or not is probably less important, I guess, to the story of how important he was. But the fact that people would have fingers and claim it would be his is kind of part of the... It's kind of part of... shows how significant he was. Whether it's 100% true or not.
Like, every single human, at least in the UK, we've all got a copy of the Bible, haven't we? But I know Jesus only wrote about 300 of them. So none of us know which ones Jesus wrote.
Yeah. And if I die and people... like 100 years after I die, claimed to have little pieces of Nick Byard in their possession. That's a sign that I've done something that has had a real impact on the world around me. Whether actually they don't have my finger, they might have someone else's finger or something. Anyway, something like that. I find it really interesting, and I think it shows how important a figure he was.
So he's like the original NFT.
The original NFT?
Yeah, like non-fungible transfer, where you get one... at the moment, it's just like digital pictures and that, innit? So you buy a digital picture, you own the right to it, and nobody else can have it. So that's what he is. His finger's an NFT.
Well, yeah, something that people attach meaning to, whether
value dependent on the person who owns it. That's all.
Exactly. And, that's exactly it.
See, I'm not retarded.
No, I've never thought you were. I try not to use that word.
What's wrong with the word retarded?
I think maybe this isn't the podcast to get into it. He had lots of ideas as well that are like really ahead of its time. Like what he was advocating in the 18th century for a universal basic income to be paid for through an agricultural land tax. So that's kind of how ahead of his time was, that he was talking about things that we're still talking about now.
So he was trying to set up this Jeremy Kyle benefits brigade back in the day.
Yeah, basically, yeah, he was. Yeah. Or it was one of the things. He spoke about so many things, so I maybe shouldn't act as if he was a socialist, but he was talking about these ideas.
So, if he was trying to do all these nice things for people, because there were a lot of poor people back then, and nowadays we say poor. Back then, poor meant like life or death, didn't it? Not like now, where it's like, do you have a 60-inch TV. You know, that's your... Yeah. That's not... They go, oh, my God, have you seen that family? They're so struggling. They've only got fucking iPhone 8s. So, but back then, like, poor was, do you eat? That sort of thing.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But, yeah. But the thing was, is he attacked a lot of the values that were considered normal at the time. So the monarchy to most people, an absolutist monarchy, was considered normal. And also he was a real abrasive character. So if you disagreed with him on something, he would write a pamphlet attacking you. Like him and Edmund Burke, they were agreed and worked together on the idea of American independence, but then they disagreed over on the French Revolution, so then they became rivals. So he picked fights basically throughout his life.
He's stubborn.
Very stubborn, yeah, very stubborn.
I like him again now.
Yeah, and just very, he would hold grudges against people.
Oh, I definitely like, I hold grudges.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Remember that.
I won't cost you.
No, I, Mr. Badger's very influential. Yes. The doctor said I must have had influenza at least 3 times this year. So, you say that even though he was trying to look out for the poor people and they didn't want his help because he was anti-monarchy, the people that
poor. He did advocate for some things that would have helped a lot of people, but his main thing was he was against, like, he was in favour of individual rights and he was against monarchy. He was against kind of arbitrary power. But the thing that pissed off most people is that he was against institutional religion, and that was the idea that kind of led people to really not like him.
That's the problem nowadays, isn't it? There's not enough religious people.
Well, he would argue differently, but even like in that time, the book was The Age of Reason. To write something questioning the idea of religion back then was really, really radical, even though nowadays it's kind of normal. And that is what led to him being hated, one of the main reasons by the end of his life.
Are you religious, Ned?
I actually am, yes. I have got faith, yes. Yeah.
Oh, what is your faith, Ned?
Church of England.
You are Church of... So you are a Christian?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely, because I don't get many Christian guests on my show. They tend to steer clear of me for some reason.
I'm not super serious about it. I'm one of those that go, like, twice a year, I guess.
Oh, like Harvest Festival, to see if you can nick some nice tins.
Get some nice tins, and I go to Midnight Mass.
No, that's very nice, though. I say it is. I will say, nowadays, it is a lost thing, isn't it? Not many young people are interested in the church. I can sort of understand the monarchy. I can understand people going off then. But with religion, I think we've had issues with religion. Nowadays, things like Christianity doesn't really seem to cause that much either, and yet it's still hated by quite a lot of people.
Well, I think for me, I find it's a good. I say I'm not the most religious person, but I find it's a kind of cultural heritage, I guess, and it's part of my identity. And I think anything that can bring people together broadly is helpful.
But I'm also
lots of things, so it's not like, some people it's the only thing, where for me it's like a thing that I sort of check in with every now and again.
You're schizophrenic.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So, but back on this Tom Payne, because I don't think he was schizophrenic, he just seemed like a bit of a Mardy bastard, from the sounds of things. But a very intelligent Mardy bastard, who you said... had ideas that we're still talking about today. Is there anything he did do that changed society?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's one of the main... His book, Common Sense, is one of the sparks that led to the American Revolution. and some people consider him like one of the founding fathers of America. So that had a huge impact. And he also, his ideas were part of the Chartist movement in the UK, which was the, it was, that was the democratic, the movement in England to bring about democracy. And it never actually became a revolution like the democratic movements in France did, but it was influential enough to, you know, lead to the development of the kind of democracy that we have today. And he was, his ideas were a huge part of that. A lot of people reading Thomas Paine were the people campaigning for democracy in England. So he had a massive impact. I mean, we live in an Enlightenment era, so people like Thomas Paine were hugely influential on the way our society is organised and kind of, you know, the ideas of individual rights and things like that.
So this Tom fellow, he gave people the right to choose, yeah?
Well, he didn't give anyone anything, but he fought for these things, and then eventually these ideas pushed through and became the mainstream.
So it's because of him, now people can report me and put me on 30-day bans on Facebook.
Well, maybe I get, but I never thought of the direct line from Thomas Paine to Mr. Badger, but
you should.
I guess the idea of individual rights, is why we try and protect people from dangerous people.
Yeah, but I think everybody should have individual rights. That's what it means, doesn't it? So, like, I should have the right to do whatever I want to do with no repercussions.
Well, that's an interesting idea, actually, because you've got the idea of individual freedom, and that there's the idea of positive freedom. That's what you said, that I should do whatever the hell I want to do. Oh, no, that's negative freedom. And then positive freedom is the idea that in order to be free, we have to be free from people who want to harm us, and free from, like, hunger, and free from ignorance. So it's a kind of a two different ideas of freedom, I guess.
But who's to choose good and bad, if you know what I mean? One person's shit is another person's treasure, isn't it?
I guess that's why this stuff is complex and why we're still talking about it.
Yeah. So he is still being discussed today, then?
Tom Paine, yeah. He's still, his ideas are still relevant. He inspires, I mean, the journalist George Monbiot, who is a Guardian journalist, he says explicitly that he's inspired by Thomas Paine. So he's still important to this day.
Oh, that's nice. How did you sort of come to learn about Thomas Paine? What have you done in your life that's dragged you down this path?
Dragged me down? Well, I for my sins, loved political philosophy when I was a student and studied politics at university,
what do you do now?
Now I have a job that I work.
You're not allowed
in
to talk
research.
About.
Well, I will. I'm not sure if I should talk about it on this podcast.
No, I'd avoid anything you may get in trouble for.
But yeah, now I work in research basically. So different to what I studied, but I found I was always fascinated in ideas, and Thomas Paine is one of those thinkers because he had such a crazy life, basically.
A crazy life. Other than sort of being chopped into bits and ended up in people's drawers, what's something else that we can end the podcast on? A fantastic story about Thomas that's out there.
I might have used up all my stories about him. I'm afraid.
Has he shagged a cat?
No, he never shags a cat. Not to my knowledge, anyway. He criticised monarchy, criticised aristocracy. He was part of the American Revolution. He was part of the French Revolution. He was thrown in prison. I mean, that's quite a lot of stuff. For one man.
Other than criticising monarchy, I've done most of that. So
Well, yes, I guess. But nowadays it's easier because we've got freedom of speech and stuff.
Well, I'm not allowed to say a lot of things. That's why they've got me on a 25-minute time limit on the internet. So
he was rabble rousing. He was going out and getting people to rebel.
Yeah, I'm trying to get people to rebel, but it's in certain corners of the dark web.
So, the dark web. You're like the dark web equivalent of Thomas Paine.
I am, and I am constantly in pain. So, Ned, your name's not Ned, is it? What's your name, Sadie?
My name is Nick Byard.
Nick Byard? And Nick, what are you doing now outside of your work? What we can talk about?
Well, I'm a comedian. I do a lot of gigs around Oxford and Reading and some in London. You can follow me on Byard Nick on Instagram. I run a comedy club called Mates Rates Comedy, which is a comedy club that runs shows around Reading and things like that. And I'm also part of the Reading Indie Comedy Festival, which is a festival I started with Jonathan Elston and my business partner Carl Richard.
Oh, that sounds lovely. You've got a lot of stuff going on, you know. So this podcast is probably going to be coming out within the next week. Have you got anything coming up desperately you want to be plugging?
Not really. Just follow me.
I don't blame you.
See what I'm up to.
Byard Nick. That's it.
Yeah.
So if anybody's enjoyed what they've heard today and they want to learn more about people who hate the Queen and hate the King, because I bet you killed the Queen, follow Byard Nick.
Sorry, I was just not laughing. Is this unhelpful?
No, it's fine. We're about to end anyway. So it's been lovely chatting to you. And I hope in a few years that you do get executed by the monarchy. Say goodbye to the boys and girls, Nick.
Bye. Thanks, Mr. Badger. Nice to speak to you.
You too. Bye-bye, boys and girls.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone.